Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
Hey, baby, let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs and have some fun.
You gotta give us a shot.
You know what?
You gotta give us a shot.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back. Oh, did I start that too early? You know what? We'll do it again. What is up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Giants Report. I am your host, The Mage. As always, I'm joined by my co-host, Murph. What's up, Murph?
What's up, Daddy? I'm ready to rock and roll.
My two
daddies are here today, so I'm ready to rock and roll.
I was actually a little late today. I apologize for that. I'm using Murph's computer, and I had to... There was a lot of adult material on here that I had to remove before I got started. So, I don't know, all types of weird stuff going on. CG, what's up, CG?
What's up, brother? Doing pretty good. How are you?
I'm hanging in there. Make sure you follow us at the Giants Report on Twitter and on Instagram. Follow me at the Mage underscore NFL. Follow Murph and Nowhere because Murph has been banished to hell by Jack on Twitter. And follow CG at CGF underscore NFL on Twitter. And we are joined by none other than Top Geek. What's up, Cop?
Top Geek, huh?
Top Geek, Pizzle. That's what you are. You're a geek. I don't give a crap. I don't care what anybody has to say. You're not a 60-minute man.
60 minutes.
You are not a 60 minutes.
Man, you heard Brian. I know you saw Brian Daboll talking about 60 minutes after that post game, first post game. Where do you think he got that from?
We're going to need to get stole a sound from clip. You. We need a sound clip of that one. I didn't hear that one.
He did. It was after the Patriots game. But no, he did steal from me. But I like to think he did.
He did, I bet.
You know? I think he did.
What's up, Cop? What's going on, man? You know, we wanted to have you on the show now that we moved everything over here to YouTube. I don't know, man. Yeah, you're starting a lot of wars on Twitter. People don't really seem to get you all that much. You posted like a farewell message like a month ago, and you're still here. Weren't you supposed to like start doing like betting, like penis pics or something like that?
Let me tell you what, that was hilarious. I'm still working on that. But that was the funniest thing that someone shared with me all year long was when you shared me that photo.
You like my edit of it?
I've been doing it. Yeah, that was great. I've been doing good. I'm excited about the season coming up. I'm ready to go. I don't know what wars I've been starting on Twitter. I get in so many, I guess I just forget them.
I don't know.
The one as of late was probably the tweet saying that everybody owes Daniel Jones because he's probably the most – or the best player on the roster the last couple of years. That threw some of them into a little tailspin.
Listen, I could go on and on and on about the Daniel Jones thing. I watched I'm going to say a name, and this isn't me starting any beef, but I was watching an entertainer somewhere. It might have been on this podcast here with you guys. Or it was somewhere else, and he had made a mention where he had said, like, Daniel Jones isn't going to be the quarterback in 2023, something like that. And so I went into the second preseason game with the mindset that I was going to just be negative towards Daniel Jones, right? Like, I was just going to be like, yeah, I'm going to critique everything that he does and do this and that. And this last preseason game, he looked amazing. He looked spectacular, right? I mean, he looked phenomenal. I mean,
well, people can have perceptions. Anyone can say someone's going to suck, you know.
Well, no, but you know,
I mean,
he looked phenomenal to me. And so I was like, I don't know how anybody can be legitimately negative about Daniel Jones. I have watched every play. Oh, tap. I mean, you probably blocked for real good reason.
Taps our boy. You have to untap. You got to unblock him.
Well, I got to figure out what he did first. I mean, you know, there's only a couple reasons why you get blocked from me. And if you do one of them, then you probably did that one reason. But on to Daniel Jones. I mean, I've watched every single play of every single game the Giants have been since he's been on the roster. And to me, I legitimately believe that he's been one of the best players on the team. Like,
I'm going to stop you, and then I'm going to pose a question to you. Look, we've been talking about Daniel Jones so much, so off season, and we've been talking about Daniel Jones because of training camp, preseason games. I mean, it's gotten so ridiculous that people are so entrenched in their opinion about Daniel Jones, whether you support him or hate him, that, I mean, honestly, it's almost like politics. Everybody's chosen a side and they've dug in on it. So my question to you, because you just said that, you know, he's been one of the best players over the last couple of years. What makes you say that? What do you see that makes you say that Daniel Jones has been the best player? Before you go into it, I've also compared Daniel Jones' first 3 years compared to Eli's. All right. Daniel Jones has better stats. Now, one geek out there tried to argue that, oh, well, it's a different era now. Eli Manning was drafted in 2004, all right, guys? This isn't the 1970s, the 1980s. Like, I mean, Eli Manning was drafted in 2004. Not only that, too, they're like, oh, well, Eli had more wins. Yeah, Eli Manning had Tiki Barber for three fucking seasons when he went over 1,500 yards each of those seasons. Who was his leading wide receivers? Well, he had Monty Toomer, he had Plaxico Burress, he had Jeremy Shockey. I mean,
badass offensive line.
Daniel Jones has had Wayne Gallman, Saquon Barkley, and Devontae Booker lead in rushing yards. And Darius Slayton was his leading wide receiver for 2 years. 2 years. I mean, come on, guys. Like, at some point, I get it. We want to hate Daniel Jones just because, and, you know, there's some truth to it. He probably shouldn't have been the sixth overall pick, but he's a New York Giant. You root for somebody in favor of, right? You root for the name on the front of the jersey, not the back of the jersey. But if you're looking at Daniel Jones, and don't say that he hasn't had optimal playing situation, like, I don't know what you're looking at the last 3 years, Bizzle.
But Major, what you just said, root for the jersey instead of the guy on the player, the name, like, that's, if you support Daniel Jones right now, you apparently support player over team. That's what's being. We haven't been just arguing about Daniel Jones just this offseason. We've been arguing about the quarterback position the last decade. The last 10 years, we've been going on about the quarterback position between Eli and Daniel. And the reason why I say he's been the best player was, if you'd open your eyes and get off of Twitter for 5 seconds, you'd realize that every time that he's been hurt or he's went down, our season's tanked the last 2 seasons. Literally. I mean, like, I know they won the game in Seattle, right? I mean, I still don't know how Colt McCoy and the Giants won that game, but they did. But ever since Daniel went down, they were going to make the playoffs 2 years ago if Daniel doesn't get hurt.
Well, I mean, look at last year. Who's the best quarterback week 4 after going to the Cowboys game? Who's one of the top 4 quarterbacks in the league?
I don't understand how you don't see, like, him going down and, you know, it's, again, I hate to say it, I'm not starting a war here, but, like, I had an entertainer tell me just yesterday on Twitter, everybody loves what he has to say, but he tells me, he's like, well, what we need to see Daniel be more consistent. No, I need to see more consistency around Daniel is what I need to see. I don't need to see Daniel just needs to keep doing what did. Look, he had a turnover, a fumbling issue that he started to correct. He has an injury issue that he has to prove that he can be available, right? He has to play a full season. That was one of Eli's greatest gifts, that he could play a full season for us. So Daniel has to prove that, absolutely. But from a playing standpoint, throwing the ball, running, you know, nobody wants to talk about the fact that he's just as fast as Lamar Jackson. Like, everybody's on Lamar Jackson's nuts left and right.
Just, you can't say that, Pizzle.
But he is.
You can't. You're gonna get vilified.
He is, though, Mike. He is. He's just as fast.
Pizzle, you went to the draft, right? In 19. Do you remember before the draft and after draft the people's reaction over Daniel Jones? Do you remember the videos? I know we were talking about an entertainer. I like him a lot. He's a great guy. You know, you saw the entertainer, the bad dog videos. The problem is this, and this is the problem with this fan base.
I want to talk about those videos.
They came in with a bias against Daniel Jones. All right. And ever since this point, you watched it. Like, I was watching the NFL Network because where the hell I live, I don't get the NBC local. I get the NFL Network. And I'm watching it, and they're pushing a quarterback controversy. And they're pushing, oh, take a look at this. It's Tyrod Taylor. Is he going to be able to step over Daniel Jones? This is the freaking problem with this, with everything. Mm-hmm. It's not just the fan base. The fan base feeds into the media. The media has not liked Daniel Jones. Half the fan base – some of the content creators didn't like Daniel Jones. So what do you think the stupid fans are going to do? They're going to say, oh, I don't like Daniel Jones because so-and-so told me I don't like Daniel Jones. And that is my freaking problem. And that has been my problem from day one. And I'm like, you know, you guys are all in kind of in the same mindset with me with Daniel Jones. People forget. They forget the one-handed catch. They forget the game last year where he won in the damn Superdome where we haven't won since the 1990s. Eli didn't win there. He won. So I get fired up. You know why I get fired up? Because he doesn't get his due when it's deserved. They just amplify every mistake he makes.
He beat the Eagles with a broken neck. That should be good enough for you. I want to bring up that draft.
I didn't forget. I want to come back to that video, but let's say on Daniel Jones real quick, though. So what you were talking about, and fans, look, I'm not going to tell anybody how to root for their team. I have the way that I root for my team, and that's it. There's too many opinions when it comes to what people should do. Look, live and let live. That's what I'm going to say, all right? But the opinion is out there that Daniel Jones is a top-tier quarterback, and he should be able to elevate the play around him. The question is that I have is, how much does he have to elevate? He's had an atrocious, a bottom 10 offensive line. We mentioned his leading wide receiver being Darius Slayton. Last year was definitely, I mean, not a knock on Daniel Jones. All right, they had Kenny Golladay, they had Kadarius Toney, but everybody's always hurt. The play calling did him no favors. Is Daniel Jones ever going to be a Patrick Mahomes or an Aaron Rodgers type-esque quarterback? Probably not. Could he be good enough to win one or two Super Bowls? Eli was never a top 10 quarterback.
But you don't.
That's what it all comes down to, though.
They were burning Eli's jersey in the parking lot in 2006, 2007. So you know, this fan base, I'm gonna disagree with you because this fan base is half the problem. Because and it's a New York thing, and I know I'm not in New York anymore, but people are very impatient, okay? And it takes time, especially when you have a piss poor offensive line. You have Andrew Thomas and four JV JUCO guys playing on the same line. You're not going to win games like that, and you're going to lose your quarterback because he's not going to be able to be protected.
I want to go back to what CGF was talking about that draft because I want to share my experience. So two things on that. I was actually – when I was at the draft, I actually saw these Jet fans. There was three of them. They were in the same T-shirt. I ended up calling them the Three Stooges. Because they were wearing Darnold shirts, Sam Darnold shirts, and they were thanking me, the Giants fan, for Sam Darnold, because obviously we passed and we took, and of course now those guys probably, you know, I'd love to see those guys now, but anyways, I remember at the draft when Daniel got selected, everybody around me, and you couldn't even move around that place, was like, oh, what an awful pick, and I was like, you don't know, you didn't watch, you've never seen him play. When I came home that night, I was super excited to see the YouTube reaction because I was such an Eli Manning homer. Eli Manning would still be the quarterback if I owned the Giants. I mean, that's a fault of mine. I openly admit that. But the YouTube crowd, at least the part I was a part of, they were ready to move on from Eli. Anything was better than Eli. So I thought my part was like, oh, when I get home, they're going to be super excited about somebody else. When I got home and I watched, I was thoroughly disappointed to see all of this. Oh, what are we doing? This is the worst pick ever. And I'm like, you're not even going to give this dude a chance. You're not even going to let him make one throw before you just go ahead and send him down the road. And I honestly believe that the Giant fan base has gotten to the point where they have to hate somebody. Doesn't matter who, they have to hate somebody. It was easy to hate guys like Shermer. It was easy to hate guys like Dave Gettleman. It was easy to, it wasn't that easy to hate Joe Judge for some people, but it eventually became that way. You know, it's easy to hate John Mayer and blame him, but they can't hate anybody this year. They can't hate Dable. They
the love fest Joe dies Dable. Quick. The love fest dies.
Hated Coughlin.
But yeah, they hated Coughlin at one time. They don't have anybody to hate right now. They have, which is crazy to me, because it's like, why don't you hate Sterling Shepard? He's been here the whole time. This thing sucks. You know, so it's like, why is it that you hate the quarterback in Daniel and you don't recognize the fact that, yeah, they've been losing seasons, but he's been the bright spot of the team.
How quickly the tides have turned for Leo Williams, huh?
I mean, everybody thought that was a terrible trade. Then all of a sudden, he looks dominant.
I still see people bitching about that, though, to this day.
Not so much anymore.
I was arguing with someone with it 2 days ago because, you know, he's good, but he's not worth that money. It's like, what did you just fucking say, bro? He's a top five player at his position.
Let me say this point, though.
Everybody's turning their guns on Daniel Jones.
But let me say this, Mage, and look, do I believe that Dave Gettleman ultimately deserved to be fired/retire? Yes. But I cannot, and one of you guys may not like this, but I cannot stand when I hear people say Gettleman failed Joe Judge. Joe Judge failed Dave Gettleman. That's the truth. And Joe Judge had a job because of Dave Gettleman. Now, in my opinion, I actually think that they wanted to hire Rule. Rule said, screw you guys, I'm going to Carolina. And then Gettleman wanted to look like he was in control, so he got Judge, which that all just blew up in everybody's face. But they won't say the other way around because all the content creators and all the geeks out there were so all in on Joe Judge.
They were running laps. They were running laps around that live stadium. Joe Judge was an imposter. The guy was an actor. He fooled everybody. He should be on Broadway. He should be on Broadway.
He was a terrible coach. And I'm not saying Dave Gettleman was a great GM, but what I think you're going to see this year, and I bring this up because you're talking about Leo Williams, he has brought in drafted and such as Leo Williams, not Kenny Golladay, but such as Leo Williams, talented players that if the Giants are successful this year, it will be because of those players. Yeah. If Daniel Jones,
Andrew Thomas, Xavier McKinney,
Aziz Ojulari.
Now I'm gonna disagree with you. I'm gonna disagree with you a little bit, Cobb.
That's fine.
I blame Mara for all of that, actually, not Joe Judge, because
what part?
He gave Joe that power.
Okay.
So,
which by the way, when they drafted apparently well, they said, "Oh, well, Joe Judge drafted that whole class."
Oh yeah, they didn't do any of this shit. And now that draft class sucks. So
yeah, look at Golladay. We didn't need Tony and Golladay. I didn't want Golladay. The fan base. That's another thing. The fan base was bitching. Give me Golladay. I want Golladay. Right. He comes here and he sucks. It's the fan base. The fan base likes the bitch, listens. And people complain when things go wrong.
I bring that all around back to here because if Daniel Jones is successful this year, if he is successful, they're going to all give the credit to Dable. Daniel's not going to get anything. Like if he goes out there, even if he had a Pro Bowl season, they're going to say Dable did all of that. Daniel did nothing. And it just bothers me so much, not because I'm a Daniel Jones over Giants fan. It's just I recognize what's real. You were talking about, Mage. See, I get so damn fired up. Listen to this. When people say, don't tell me how to be a fan. And then it's like, okay, well, if I say something to you that you don't like, you just come back to me and say, well, I'm just being a realist. No, you're not. You're not being a realist. You're not. You don't even know what the hell you're talking about if you say Daniel Jones is one of the worst players on the team. What do you mean? You know, like I had guys hollering at me today about Twitter. I wasn't even saying nothing. I wasn't even on Twitter today.
So 17-year-old kid from Ronkonkoma is not going to know if Daniel Jones is good or bad. No, let's be honest.
They don't. They just look at win. They just look at win records. That's it. You don't know. You don't know nothing. Don't tell me. Don't tell me that I'm stupid because I want to support Daniel. Here's the thing, too. I always say this: if you want to replace Daniel, what the hell are you going to replace him with? With what?
Well, the fans think that Tyrod Taylor's
better than Jake Fromm. That's the last preseason game. Daniel was absolutely money every throw he threw. Tyrod came in there, and don't get me wrong, he's a much better upgrade than Glennon. 10,000 times better, right?
Right. I like him as a backup.
Dude, if Daniel goes down week two, week three, whatever, I'm not going to lose my mind because I'm going to say, all right, Tyrod's a veteran. I think he can, you know, hold – you know, keep water out of the ship for a little while. But, you know, with Glennon, it was like, well, we're sinking. It's obviously we're going to sink.
So, I don't know, man. I was told that we wanted to skip a beat and be putting up 40 points. Through the season.
I think they threw that season. You know, they knew Daniel Jones had some neck injury, and they weren't going to push him out. They're like, just throw the neck out there. You know, he's not going to win anything, and then we get a better draft pick. You know, a
couple things I want to come back to, though. Say what's up to a few people here. Taj is in the chat. What's up, Taj? Thanks for joining us, man. My boy Rich is here. Tap. What's up, guys? Thanks for joining us. So, first of all, go back to CG's point. CG, I disagree with you on Galladay. Because we had nothing. Free agency came before the draft. So you can't say, well, you know what, we got Galladay and then we got Tony. Galladay was here before Tony was.
But why did you draft Tony? I mean, that was my biggest issue is Galladay. If you're going to sign Galladay to what, $72 million
for you? Talked about, we had no receivers. Our best wide receiver was fucking Darius Slayton.
I think they tried
Alex Bachman, David Sills.
But like, they could have got someone in the second or third round. They didn't need to pick a 20.
I think Dave tried to recreate Manning and Burris, is what I think he tried to recreate. And Kenny Galladay just ain't that dude. I mean, I think he's gonna be the next Evan Engram.
Golly was something else before he got here. He's just falling off a fucking cliff. I mean,
he doesn't care.
He's lazy.
No, I really.
You don't think? I think he cares.
I think there's some point to that. He got his bag, but I honestly think, I do think that hit fucked him up, and he has absolutely no fucking mobility.
Yeah, but okay. With that being said, and again, I'm sure playing the game of football in the National Football League is some serious business. Okay. So there's no question that if you don't want to bang up your body like that, like who am I to judge? I get that.
Yep.
But you got the bag and like, you at least give me something. Just give me a little bit. You don't have to give me, I don't think the Giants don't have to have the number one receiver in the league. We don't have to have that. We just need somebody to make the catches.
I'm going to say this, and I won't steal Murray's point. I'll give him credit for it. The Pittsburgh Steelers just made Deontay Johnson and George Pickens as their two outside wide receivers and put Claypool as their slot wide receiver. Murray's been hollering at this for the last couple months. Make Kenny Galladay your slot wide receiver. He's 6'4". Why not? Let him pose at least a matchup then if he can't do those things that he used to. If he can't create separation on the outside – I mean, this is a meme I was going to make or whatnot, but and Justin Penning beat me to it a few days ago. But it's that Spider-Man meme where he takes off the glasses, can't see, puts them back on. Like, Colin Johnson at this point is what Kenny Galladay should be.
I don't understand. I'm going to be honest. I don't understand all the Colin Johnson love.
He just works and touches the ball.
He's fast. He's another tall wide receiver, same height as Kenny Galladay, I believe, 6'4", 6'5". Can make contested catches. He's a younger version of Kenny Galladay.
I understand that, but what I'm getting at is everyone tells me, and I'm not trying to bring this back to Daniel, but when Daniel does good or other players like that does good, they say, well, it's just preseason. But when Colin Johnson does something good, apparently he's up and coming.
But we already know that. We already know there's a narrative around Daniel Jones, though, Cop.
I understand that, but I'm saying, why can't everyone be judged the same way?
Because they won't, because CGF mentioned this earlier, and I mean, you know, I won't call him out, but he's not a bad dude to interact with on Twitter. But, I mean, yeah, one content creator out there saying that Jake Fromm was better than Daniel Jones. Like, come on, man. Like there's just got to be something. Then you got other people out there. Here's the problem with Twitter, and here's the problem with the All 22. People like Bobby and Justin and other people that break down film do it so well. But here's the problem with the All 22 and Twitter. Twitter all of a sudden is now inundated with 15,000 people that can watch and break down film. And some of them never played the sport. Wouldn't know where the fucking first down marker was if it hit him in the face. But that all of a sudden know what traits are, know what it takes to be successful in the NFL. You know, because they once played one down of high school football their freshman year. Not everybody's capable of breaking down film.
Mate.
You can tell who the pros are. Shut up. Cop, I'm talking. You can tell who the pros are. Listen to Nick Filato. Listen to Bobby talk. Like, you know, guys that know football when they see the film. Stop listening to everybody else. Somebody else went out there and said, like, oh, well, if you're going to say that the interception wasn't Daniel Jones' fault, then the ball that fucking bounced off of Colin Johnson's face mask has to be Daniel Jones' fault, too. No, it hit him in the goddamn face mask. It didn't bounce off the goddamn defender like Bellinger did once it hit his hands. Like, I'm sorry, there's too many critics out there. Everybody wants an opinion or has opinion. Again, live and let live. Go fucking do what you want to do. Just leave me the hell out of it. I don't care.
Everyone thinks they play Madden and they're expert in football. You know, they're not. And I agree with you 100%, Mage. There's too many PhDs on Twitter who think they know everything about the game of football. And the truth of the matter is, like you said, there's only a small portion, maybe 1.2%, that actually know what they're talking about. And you should listen to those guys.
Mage, what I was trying to say.
Doesn't matter what you
before,
have to say.
Before you rudely interrupted me was, the fact is they look, I've said what I got to say about Bobby, but you take one clip on Twitter and then you show it to push a narrative. And to me, I don't think that's right, because how do you, you know, if you're just like, well, hey, this receiver, watch him do this great thing. How do you not know that the cornerback just got his knee banged the previous play? You have to watch the whole series in order to actually understand if that play was actually legit or not. You can't, you know, it's like you said, it's like, have you played football or have you not, and experienced what it feels like to feel some pain and then go out there and try to compete at a high level? Like, so just taking one play of one clip, what good does that do? What does it do, Mage?
It doesn't. What's even worse are these freeze frames where it's like, it's just picture of an
entire. Are you talking about the one Ethan posted?
What happened?
Did you see the one that this guy named Ethan posted on Twitter?
Let's see. Hold on. I have.
I'll let it go.
There you go. That's for you. All right.
Fuck that kid.
Ethan fenced or whatever in high school or whatever it was that he did. Again, somebody else shouldn't be taking or giving advice when it comes to football. And, you know, I know he's part of NYG Daily or whatever it was. I mean, his partner's not so bad, but I think Ethan's just out there literally just to troll people with this.
What does that mean, though? Like even guys with high subscriber counts, like, just because you're in that position doesn't mean that you have any importance or know anything more than anybody else.
That's our world now, Cop. I mean,
I just like
we're on here too, man.
Everyone's a Wes Steinberg, you know.
Well, honestly, guys, if you want to be a happy Giants fan, don't get on social media. I mean, that's what it just comes on down
don't.
To.
Like
at this point, I just get on to laugh and read the comments and see the bitching. Like, I mean, it's not going to get better until we start winning. Winning cures, and I mean, New York has absolutely no fucking patience. And unfortunately, like you and I were talking earlier, like they run people out of town. And I hope to God that Danny can change.
They were really close one of the main reasons why I even joined YouTube was because I wanted to support Eli, because they were getting ready to run Eli out of town. They were running him out of town. They were going to run Coughlin out of town. Like, it's crazy to me that you can't watch a progression. I always thought that growing up that New Yorkers were, or at least that market, they admired toughness and strength and an underdog role. And, when I always kind of, the idea of like someone wins a game with a broken neck and wins it for you, like that makes him like somewhat legendary status. But I guess you got to get to the point where you're like Jeter and you make
these kids don't remember Jeter. They don't remember Paul O'Neill. They don't remember Eli Manning, half of them. Half of them don't even remember Kerry Collins. That's the problem. The New York that we remember, that I grew up with, where people looked at the underdog and were very like excited about that and rooted for them, that New York is gone. These kids now, they're gone. These kids nowadays, they just want instant gratification.
Yeah. Kerry Collins is a great example. That dude was a drunk of all drunks. And for him to come back and like lead the Giants, that's a phenomenal story. Like an awesome story. He actually lives in Nashville now, and he's an assistant coach at one of the schools. And so he's an awesome story. Obviously, they didn't have a great Super Bowl, but still, like, it's a really cool story.
Kicked the shit out of the Vikings, but
yeah, was amazing. That was one of the best Giant games of all time.
All right, what was the score? 41-0, right?
41-0. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
That was Fossil's fault, because if you remember correctly, he took everyone out to the bowling alley or the movie theater and celebrated the NFC Championship like it was the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And in my mind, they weren't focused.
In that game. Yeah, they peaked in that game for sure.
I mean, they were going against. I mean, one of the best defenses though ever too. I mean, that's just it was insane.
That's honestly one of my favorite Giant teams. Is that 2000 team? That's one of my favorites, man. I love that team.
It was a good team for sure. But, back to CG's point, I mean, a lot of the fans that you may have talked to now, though, I think
– you're right.
It was Odell Beckham is their favorite Giant. He's not even on team
now. Yeah, the Giant fans, or at least – it's so funny because it reminds me of an abusive relationship. It's like OBJ beat the hell out of us. Like, he did. He beat the hell out of us. And we kept making excuses about it, and he's left. And every now and then he flirts with us on Instagram or Twitter, and we're like, "Yeah, I think I want to bring him back. I know he beat the hell out of me, but like, I think I want to bring him back. Like, he really loved me at one time." No, he didn't give like no. He beat the hell out of us. And like for anybody,
to be honest, he broke the Giants. Here's the ESPN. ESPN interview. The Giants have been on the downhill.
The boat trip, they've been on the downhill.
Well, I was trying to blame Odell. Cruise for that one.
And that's another thing. Like, when that was one of the worst times I ever had on YouTube, because like when he went on ESPN with Josina Anderson, as a matter of fact, Josina Anderson literally blocked me the next day because I just had a field day on Twitter in her ass, because she went on there. She's like, does the Giants have a quarterback problem? And I just thought that was ludicrous that a two-time Super Bowl MVP quarterback could be just thrown under the bus like that for no reason at all. Like, to me,
Eli didn't get respect.
He didn't get no respect.
No, they were questioning him after the second Super Bowl. They were like, "Oh, he's not a franchise quarterback. He doesn't belong in the Hall of Fame." He got two Super Bowls. He's Super Bowl MVP twice. He's going in the Hall of Fame. In my mind, at least.
No, absolutely. He never got that's. But that was the thing. Like, he obviously he was Peyton's little brother, but you would think that a town like New York or even New Jersey would say, "Hey, he's our guy, leave him alone." But no, they this is one of the biggest beefs that I have right now in the current Giants, is like, if you talk to Eagle fans, the Eagle fans have got a pretty good team, but their biggest question mark is Hurts, Jalen Hurts. But if you go to Eagles content creators, they're all supporting Hurts. Every one of them is like, "Yeah, it's Hurts season." It's this. You talk to Commander fans, they got Carson Wentz as their quarterback, right? We all know that's not going to work. But if you talk to them, they'll tell you it's going to work. It's going to work. You go to the Cowboy fans, they're paying Dak probably way too much money. But they all tell you it's going to work. Every team, the NFC East, all their fan bases are rallying around their quarterbacks. And we're the only team in this division that will not rally around our guys.
I think you can go further than the NFC East, bro.
I know, but I'm just saying I'm just keeping it simple here.
Bro. Yeah.
One, I think I disagree on Dak. I think Dak's an underrated quarterback.
No, I think he is too, but he
gets credit for. Two, here's the reason why that the Giants are split on that quarterback. We're the smartest fan base in all of football. We know better than anyone else. That's it. Couple people I want to shout out into the chat that joined us. Jordan Johnson, what's up? Clouts is here, CG.
Oh,
say what's up to Clouts?
Clouts, how's it going, buddy?
Clouts is here. And there's a guy by the name of Carlos Sanchez that professes love for you.
That's my boy. Carlos is my boy. Don't be talking junk about him.
I'm just saying he's
Told me that if I come to New Jersey, he'll pop bottles with me.
Do you want to say anything back to Carlos? That's all.
He's my boy.
Do you love him too?
I love all of the people all that
right.
love me.
All right. Just making sure, that's all. Want to include everybody here, bro. CG, do you have any news and notes for us? There were a lot of injuries this past week.
Well, today they cut the roster down to 80, and it looks like Ricky Seals-Jones will not be playing this year, as well as Andre Miller, who did really well early in camp. You know, he got injured, so he's not going to be playing. He's on the IR, season-ending IR. Darren Beavers as well won't be there. And then Nick Gates and Matt Peart are on the reserve PUP, so that means 4 weeks – could reevaluate, maybe they'll be back. So, you know, the roster's down to 80. I'm curious about you guys. What do you think about waiver wire? Because obviously they're probably not going to do anything until after the game on Sunday. Who do you think the Giants are going to go after? Any ideas?
For me personally, I got to wait to see what other teams do with their 53. So you're talking about another 27 players being released. Times 32. I mean, that's going to be an influx into the market. So you know that there's going to be some veterans that are probably let go. Those are people that will probably want to sign, unless there's any top tier guys that will want to hold out for a better contract. But I think if I'm Shane right now, I'm waiting. I'm not doing anything. I want to wait till the 53 man cuts. Even if I got to bring them in late, I think I'm bound to get some better talent though if I wait. Although I will say, in terms of the offensive line, I mean, I know we haven't got to the Cincinnati Bengals preview yet, but this offensive line did not look bad, though. I know they went against a second team, Cop, but I mean, there was still some guys, though. Max Garcia held his own playing center. Devery Hamilton, I believe it is, looks good. He's probably going to end up being a swing tackle, played guard, kicked outside to tackle when Thomas left the game. This offensive line looked a lot better, a lot improved. So I don't see, to answer your question, CG, I don't see Joe Shane making any moves just yet.
Yeah,
hold on. Right. What the fuck is this, Cloud? So what am I, chopped liver? Chopped liver? You know what? Just wait till I see Clouts at a game, him and his
family. I do want to stick on that O-line point. I want both of those dudes getting all first team reps against the Jets this week. I want Max Garcia at center, and I want Devery Hamill at left guard all week long against Q Will and that big beast undrafted. I think he's an undrafted free agent. Michael Clemens that they got, and Jermaine Johnson. They got a good D-line, man, so I want them to throw these guys out to the fire. You know, I was saying that earlier to you, Maj, but we really seriously still have absolutely no fucking answer at guard and center.
No, I agree with you on that. I mean, I was actually impressed with some of the backups, even that Roy Mabeca, who I can't say his last name. I'm going to butcher it, but he can't pass protect for shit, but his run blocking is great. So give him a year or two on the practice squad. He might actually be a steal for us.
I do want to say that, like, I think losing Beavers is a really – really big thing because to me, he was slowly showing me that, like, probably going to be a last season for Blake Martinez, you know, because that dude was looking like a starter already. And so him, you know, not that he was going to start early, but I think it's going to be a big deal for the Giants from depth purposes.
I think he was going to start. I think it was going to be him and Blake. I really do.
He was coming on. I mean,
I don't know about ahead of Blake, but.
Well, no, I mean, him and Blake in the middle and Tay Crowder number three.
That's fair.
Yeah. Hey, I was going to say he might have taken Tay's spot. But as far as picking up other guys, like I think I would look at the Bills team in general. I would bet that if, you know, with this, you know, you got to remember this is Joe Shane. This is his first time being a general manager, right? I mean, this is his first time going to be in a season as a being general manager. He's going to probably go to what he knows and a team that he's familiar with to pick up, fill out roster spots. And I'm sure he still has some type of connection with the guys from that team. And so I would bet that I would bet anything that the Giants pick up somebody from the Bills, somebody.
Can we clone Dawson Knox? Can we clone him? That would be really a nice pickup.
That would be sweet, wouldn't it?
It'll never happen, but that would
be really already good. Picked up Elijah Griffin. Is that his name?
Yeah, Elijah. OJ Griffin, cornerback. I'll tell you what, though. Our boy, Mr. Chris, he's been saying for months to trade for Cody Ford. The Giants didn't do it, and all cost was a fifth-round pick. Not sure what the salary looked like, but, you know, if that was something to your point, Pizzle, that they want to go back to the wheelhouse.
I don't think they're done doing business. Well, I guess, I mean, picking up somebody got cut. I don't know if that's necessarily doing business, but I don't think that they're done doing business with the Bills. Cause I mean, you look at that Bills roster, it's really good this year. I mean, they're the favorites to win it all. And so there's going to be some guys that are going to be cut probably that's, you know, got some talent. And I would bet Joe Shane tries to go straight to it if he feels that we have a, you know, a need there. So I would look at that team and when they start their cut process and see if there's some guys out there that the Giants might have interest in.
And Brandon Brown said this past week, all he's been doing is grinding other preseason tapes of teams. Yeah, so, I mean, they're shopping big time.
Yeah.
Making their list for sure. They probably got a fucking big board on just free
agents. If I had to guess, I don't think. I mean, maybe they could be looking at somebody, you know, maybe in the offensive line. But offensively, I can't see them really doing anything there. Maybe tight end. I think if they're looking at guys, I think it'd have to be all on the defensive side of the ball.
I think the Giants have said. I think the Giants made a decision 2 weeks ago that Daniel Bellinger was going to be a starting tight end.
No, I probably need more.
They need some.
They need another vet.
They need someone
with Bellinger and Eakins.
I'm just leaving this comment up by Clouts as long as I can. But
if you want, let's talk tight end for a second.
Well, hold on one second. I want to go back to linebacker too because CG tried stealing some of my thunder this past week.
I didn't try to steal your thunder. I didn't know you tweeted it. I forgot. I'm old. I'm 45. I don't remember this shit. Come on.
There is one guy at linebacker that I was surprised that the Giants didn't bring back. I know fans weren't that enamored with him last year, but I love Jalen Smith. Jalen Smith is an ideal fit for Wink's system because he can cover. That was what Jalen Smith did best. His coverage grades was up there. I think they were in the 70s for a linebacker, which is pretty damn good. So you have Jalen Smith who can, you know, still has some explosiveness, can still rush the passer if needed, downhill tackler, and he can also drop back in coverage. Last I saw, he was still working out. I'm not sure why anybody hasn't really given him a chance. I like the way that he played last year. I thought that he came in and he played well for the Giants. Jalen Smith's still out there. I 100% would kick the tires on him again. Nobody's banging down his door now, so Murph, to your tight end comment.
No, I'm all about Jalen Smith. No, tight end, though, I back to that, we got to get someone who has hands because, in my opinion, Ricky Seals-Jones was the hands guy, the receiver. And obviously Bellinger has some wide receiver characteristics, but he's a good blocker, and he's a block first tight end, and we got to get someone who can catch the ball, dude. I mean – actually, well, just move my boy Kenny Golladay to tight end. I've been saying that all along.
He would last a quarter. You know that.
Well, here's the thing.
He would last the quarter. He'd be on a stretcher.
That's what it all comes down to, man. That's
Golladay. That's why I don't want him in the slot. Come on.
He could easily do it.
He's not going to block.
Easily do it. He just doesn't want to do it is what it comes down to.
What's his name? Bring back Travis Benjamin. I mean, they should give him a second chance because that was Gettleman and Judge.
Was it Travis? The other day, Jared Cook's still out there.
Yeah, Jared Cook. And
Jared Cook is 53, but if you need a tight end for a year.
Well, Tommy Sweeney, man. Tommy Sweeney filled in for the Bills last year when Dawson Knox, I think he broke his hand. And one of our boy Chad Forbes told us Tommy Sweeney early on a couple weeks ago. So I could see him. I don't know if he's a free agent or he's still in Buffalo, but I could see them making that call too. But he's kind of more like Bellinger, though, so I don't know.
I still have confidence in Bellinger, though.
Absolutely. I think Bellinger's the guy going forward. I would be a little bit more comfortable with DJ if we had a vet presence there that can be a safety valve a little bit. And
I mean, look, guys,
knowing us, fucking Bellinger's going to get hurt. So
yeah. Don't say it.
I mean, I'm just being real.
Guys like Brady have made a career because they had Gronk, you know?
Maybe we could convince Gronk to come in.
It helps if you've got a great tight end that can do all the things. I mean, Travis Kelce helps Kansas City out tremendously.
I would call Jared Cook, man, see what he wants. I mean, he worked with Herbert last year. I think he did pretty well. I want to say he caught like 6 or 7 TDs. Maybe that might have been the year before, but I think he was in New Orleans before that, but he's got hands. It really just depends on what they want, man. It's a rebuild year, so they might not care.
In terms of the offense, like there's a lot of, I mean, I'm concerned about tight end. Don't get me wrong, but there's a lot of concerns about the Giants' offense because I mean, who knows how many games Kadarius Toney's going to play? If you gave me 12 right now, I'd probably be happy. Like, I just don't know if that dude's going to play as many games as people think he's going to play. Sterling Shepard, I mean, can we honestly count on that guy to play all season long? I mean, he probably won't even make the first couple games, right? Yeah. Kenny Golladay is already potentially, still has hip issues potentially. We don't know what we're going to for sure get out of health-wise out of Robertson yet. Like, you know, there's a lot of concerns as far as the receiving core with the tight end position for the Giants that you really have to be worried about.
I don't think this is true, right? He's off the team.
Fuck you, Ted.
Yeah, he's gone.
He's gone, right? Because I know he was injured. I wasn't sure how long he had under contract.
Did he have a nasty injury too?
Yeah, I think he got caught in the offseason, if I remember right. Is one of the salary cap casualties.
I'm with you, Piz. We've talked about
it sucks because it sounds like Darius Slayton's going to get cut.
Well, he sucks.
I think they're trying to trade him, but
you say he sucks, and I'm pro Slayton, and I understand he's had a couple issues, but he's been at least available.
But he's had his injuries.
This has a point, though.
Yeah, but he's played through his injuries.
You're right.
First of all, we're talking about MetLife Field, which is I don't know how many times we have to go see players have leg injuries before they finally do something. But Slayton at least has always been available.
And he's just shown nothing, man. Nothing.
Well, that's the thing, though. He's shown enough to where
he made it receiving 2 years.
He actually showed too much because it's caused his contract to get to 2.5, and they have to move on from him because they don't want to pay that to him.
It's true.
And like to me, it's like, of course, I mean the narrative is he sucks, but like I think it sucks that when you're not on the field.
Well, he's a fifth round pick, so you can only expect. I think
he's exceeded expectations.
Absolutely, I think his rookie year fucked him over.
If he was a first round draft pick, I'd go right there with you and say, yeah, he's got to be better than that. But being a fifth rounder,
but my question for you, Piz, is, does he have a future here, man?
No, I mean here's the thing.
Can he help us this year? Is he going to help us in the future?
He's good. I mean, can Kenny Golladay help me? Can Kadarius Toney help me? Yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't see Sterling Shepard going to help me. Like, I don't know who the hell is going to help me. Like, that's the thing.
And look, you know, at some point this season, you know, the Giants are starting Colin Johnson, Alec Bachman, and Darius Slayton.
Look, I love Alec. Like, I think Alec Bachman's a cool story, but again, I think that's a preseason story. Like, I would love to see him be this guy that makes plays during the regular season. But it's like,
you had to start him last year.
How many times are people also going to tell me that Seals is going to make the team? It's been like 3 or 4 years now that Seals apparently is going to make the team, and here we are again. He's going to I'm not rooting against him. It's just, when do you ever learn? Like,
you're being a realist.
Which is apparently only real if you agree with the opinion that they're given. You know,
I think it's different with Johnson, though, man. It's different with Johnson
than
it is.
Maybe it is. I just see Johnson as somebody who, he got cut by the Jags. I'm not saying that makes him bad, but let's not pretend that he hasn't already failed. Now, you can fail. What do you do to get back up and, you know, take that next step? Are you going to be a better player with the Giants? I'm all for second chances. I love that. I think it makes for great stories. But, you know, what impact will he have in the season?
Hey, look, man, we talk about it with Golladay. Golladay got paid $72 million. The difference between Colin Johnson is he's not. Hungry dogs are going to eat.
Like, I don't want to go back to Daniel Jones. I don't want to go back there. But we need guys to be healthy to have that judgment of him at the end of the year.
Well, there's no doubt about that. I mean,
we can't sit here. You know, the worst thing that that happens to us is that we're still left being unknown. Because I don't know about you guys, but as Giant fans, it would be terrible if that dude went somewhere else and balled out.
Oh, he's gonna. I mean, it's gonna happen.
I don't know how Lion fans sleep at night sometimes. Their dude literally went to the Rams in one season and won a Super Bowl. You literally had a Super Bowl champion quarterback there the whole time.
They had Barry Sanders, and they wasted that.
You couldn't put the pieces around him.
Like, I mean, we all knew.
It's not that they couldn't. I mean, they put Pro Bowl caliber, Hall of Fame caliber.
Well, I know they put. I know he had Calvin Johnson, but like, I'm just like, it's more than just a couple players. It's not the NBA. Like, you know, there's more to that. I mean, it's frustrating, but like,
your defense hasn't been good for a long time. And now all of a sudden it is. That's,
well, and Piz, to your point, like you said earlier, we need consistency all around.
And of course I say that and people are just dumbfounded. They're like, what do you mean?
Well, and I think we're going to find out a lot about a lot of different people on this roster this year.
We have to know, like, what the hell do we do with Saquon Barkley?
Dude, we don't even really have like a fucking roster. Honestly, I have no idea who's going to be here next year. That's why I don't think it's crazy that Colin Johnson steals all of Kenny Galladay's first team reps. I don't think it's nuts.
That's what I'm trying to say.
I know you
everybody on this roster has to prove something. Yeah, everybody.
Besides like Andrew Thomas and Xavier McKinney, and to me, he still does, but like,
I think there's not many people
that you can say doesn't have to prove anything.
Everybody has to prove something. Like, it ain't just one dude. So, like, you spend so much time on one dude, it gets just so repetitive that, like, yeah, how about this dude right here? I know Will on Twitter. him and the Saquon stuff is like, dude, shut up. But, like, Saquon's got to prove something too, right? He has to. Like, he has to show that he can be the ground and pound presence that we desperately need. Like, we need that. I mean, every time the Giants have ever been anything and won a Super Bowl, they had a running game. Yeah. Like, you have to have a running game. You just have to.
So, Murph, you had a good transition there for a minute until you kept talking, but I think why don't we stay there then, and why don't we try to figure out what this 53-man roster is going to look like then? How about we do that?
Let's give it a stab.
All right. So first thing is, how many quarterbacks do we think they keep? Do they keep all three or do they keep two?
I have two.
I think personally they keep two also. I think they go to Davis Webb and say, hey, look, we want to keep you. Yeah, I don't sign with anybody else. We'll bring you back to the practice squad. But obviously, they brought Davis Webb in for a reason. but I agree with CG. I think that they probably keep two here.
I don't see the point in carrying three. I never did, never God. Do.
Especially with all the injuries. I mean, there's really no luxury. If this team was healthy, I could see going with three possibly just to have that, you know, on the field mentor. But in this situation, this team's so injured, you really need those extra roster spots.
Yeah, I was going to say, I bet they would like to keep three, but I don't think they have the privilege to keep three. And that's the problem. But I don't think Webb's going to the practice squad. I think Webb will get signed somewhere else.
I mean, that's possible. He's done well.
I don't think he's that bad. I
don't think he's that bad, but if Davis Webb was considering retiring prior to this, I don't know why it came out like that, but if he was considering retiring prior to this, then I think obviously he came here because of Joe Shane and Brian Daboll.
Yeah.
So I can see him just kind of taking a handshake agreement and say, yeah, no problem. I'm fine. I'll sign on as a practice squad. It's more than he's going to make as a coach.
No, I think he would take it, but I really feel like there's a chance he could have a possibility somewhere.
Oh, yeah, he might get claimed.
He hasn't changed. I mean, he had the preseason game this week against the Bengals, but aside from that, I mean, his career kind of is what it is. So
yeah.
I would think Tyrod will get most of the game this week. No, you think they'll give it to Webb?
I think it's gonna be mostly Tyrod and Webb. I don't think they want to chance Jones getting hurt.
Yeah, I don't think they're playing
their starters. They probably do one or two series at most, and you know, just want him to be sharp and let him relax until the first game. That's what I would do at least.
All right, CG, do you have a pen and paper in front of you?
I have a piece of paper. I don't have a pen.
All right. Well. What's good with paper without a pen, then?
I had no idea the pen.
All right, let's see. I'll keep track of this. All right, so we're down to two players so far. How many players do they think that they keep at running back?
I'm going to go three, man. A lot of people are saying four, but I just can't. I can't see it. I don't see us being a heavy running team.
I think the question with that is, who do you end up cutting? So, obviously, Saquon Barkley makes this team. I think, honestly, at this point, in my opinion, I think Antonio Williams is a lock.
Yeah.
I don't think you can keep Breida right now.
I think Breida might be on the bubble, but I think he could be cut.
He hasn't been healthy. I mean, what's the point?
The only reason he stays is because of his pass catching ability and knowing the scheme. Other than that, I can't find a reason for him to stay.
I think you got Dr. Corbin.
He was insurance. Corbin.
Well, I know that, but Breida did succeed in Buffalo, so I got to give him that. But
yeah, but you also got guys Corbin. Like Kenyon Drake that are being released.
I know. I prefer.
Why are you
going
to hold on to Breida?
Well, let me ask you this. Does Breida play specials? Because I have no idea.
I don't believe so. No.
I actually think – I'm not saying that you're wrong about Antonio Williams. I agree. I actually think Brightwell's made the team.
No.
See, well, Brightwell does play special team.
I think that he could make this team.
Depends. He's got to have a strong showing this week because he didn't play last week.
I'm gonna
go with three. I'm gonna say that we keep three running backs. I'm gonna say Saquon, Antonio Williams, and Corbin.
I have Saquon, Breida, and Williams.
So you're wait. You're saying Williams and Corbin. So you're saying Breida and Brightwell gone? Uh-huh.
If I'm keeping three, yeah.
I'd like to keep Breida, but he's got to be healthy.
Here's my problem in a Kansas City Buffalo type offense. Brightwell just doesn't have the explosiveness.
No, I get
Corbin
that.
Does.
I understand that, but you have. The guys like Brightwell, you have to think about special teams too.
I got that, but how many people do we need to play special teams? I think Wandell Robinson,
I think the role that he's going to be used in hasn't been shown yet because they don't want people to know how they're going to use him. I think he's going to be kind of like a running back gadget type guy that could be used in many different ways. So when we talk about special teams, Brightwell wasn't used.
What receivers are you going to use for special teams?
Well, that's the other thing. So do you want to move on to receivers then?
Well, I don't know who the hell you're going to use for special teams at receiver.
Well, so at wide receiver, you have let's just say we know. I think they probably keep six.
Got it.
We know that they're keeping Galladay, Tony, Wandell Robinson. Shep, I don't know. We heard that Shep could come off the pup.
They're angling towards that.
I think he's
which is so typical.
So then the other thing is, if you're keeping six,
it would be James.
I have seven.
Robinson, I got seven as well.
Shepard, Johnson. So that's five.
Okay, but Galladay's not playing special team. Robinson's not playing special team.
Well, that's where I'm making room for Richie James.
Richie James beats out CJ Board.
Okay. Those two are competing, yeah.
Last spot really comes down to, do they value Slayton or a special teamer more? Alex Bachman can play specials.
I have Galladay, Tony, Robinson, and Johnson as the first four, and then you got James, Sills, and Sterling Shepard, who's going to probably play. That's my seven. I have.
That's what I said this morning too.
I think Richie James makes the team, and then the only other question would be, if you want to go with seven, do they get rid of Darius Slayton or do they keep him at this
point? Well, I mean, I think
they're going to try to trade him. If not, they're going to release.
Yeah, from a money standpoint, they can't keep Slayton.
I agree with you.
But as far as do you need a you should keep Slayton because again I don't know who your dependable receivers are going forward. I don't know if Galladay is going to be healthy. I don't know if Sterling's going to be healthy. I don't know what Kadarius. How many times Kadarius Toney practiced this year? I bet you can count it on two hands.
He had the first couple, camps.
That's what I'm saying. Like, how in the world can anybody have any confidence?
I get that. But also, too, though, Cobb, is, I mean, some of these guys aren't going to sign back to their practice squad.
I understand. I'm talking about my 53, my roster for game day.
The only person that you would be concerned about going elsewhere if released would be Darius Slayton. You think David Sills is
I think
Marcus Kemp.
No, I think Slayton, there's a chance that he could get traded. Everyone's saying the Bears, but like, I think he could get potentially traded for something, like a draft pick or something.
That's fine, but then Darius Slayton won't be here, so what's the point of keeping seven?
No, I don't think they'll keep seven.
Okay.
I'm saying you keep seven in order to keep Slayton, if you can do it financially.
Yeah, I'm going to mark down six here.
I don't see a world where Richie James and CJ Board are on the same team.
No, it's either one or the other.
Yeah.
And Board got hurt. So if he doesn't come back this week, Richie James has also made a lot of plays on offense, too, in this camp.
He had a touch on the first one.
I think Richie James could actually be a returner for us.
Yeah, well, I think that's who brought in.
Yeah, which is important. I mean, that's a big deal. I mean, you got to have that guy's important.
Right now, the Giants only really have three healthy tight ends. So, question is, does Jordan Akins make the team? Aside from that, it's just Daniel Bellinger and
Chris. Austin Allen.
There's four of them.
Yeah,
Who's the kid that? Oh, Andre Miller got hurt. Sorry.
I think Austin Allen is definitely sneaky. Obviously Bellinger, but man, I think that they go get somebody else after cuts.
They have to, man. Like just looking at that right now.
And that doesn't mean that the guy that they go get is going to be the starter.
Yeah.
But you know.
So right now, out of those four, I guess we're saying that Jordan Akins is the odd man out, right?
No, I mean,
have you fucking seen it? I haven't even seen Jordan Akins in a Giants jersey.
I mean, I think he gets cut once they sign somebody else.
Yeah.
The only reason Akins is here is because the tight ends.
No, I'm saying.
I have three, Bellinger, Allen, and Akins right now.
Yeah, but Chris has been with the team. I'm going to butcher his last name.
Myarik. Yeah, I don't think they're keeping
him. I'm saying that they only have – they're really only right
they
now.
They used him at fullback, though, too, so.
I think. Well, Dabble said all tight ends will have to train at H-back.
I'm thinking right now they're only keeping two, but they're going to sign somebody else. I think Allen and Bellinger.
All right, so we'll go with three on the tight ends. That leaves us with 14 man roster so far. Let's move to the tackles. Obviously, Neil and Andrew Thomas are a lock at this point. I think Devery Hamilton has earned his spot. Man, I mean, the guy, Roy Mbatika, or Teka, however you pronounce it, they have a waiver for him, right?
That's that's a project, though.
Yeah, he's got.
Oh, he doesn't count towards the active roster.
Yeah, but
hey, he played left tackle the other day, so.
I mean, they're probably going to have to keep one of them again and earn Will Holden. I mean, you can't carry three tackles, right? You got to carry probably four.
Yeah, at this point, I mean, so we're saying that Thomas, Neil, Hamilton, and then who's your four?
Zudu. I have a Zudu who they've been trying to cross train over there. I don't think he's ready, but I think
Zudu's more of a guard, though.
Yeah, I know, but they've been trying.
It's either McGinn, Holden, or Rivas.
Holden because they can play him at multiple positions.
Yeah, he plays guard too.
Yep. I think they're trying to make him a six man CG. What I think they're trying. That's just my opinion. Where it's like
Josh
Azudu.
Yeah.
For now, but he's a fucking starter.
Well, starter over Lemieux.
Yes. Lemieux's our center, bro. If you want to go down this alley.
Okay, that's fine. I was wondering if you were talking about taking Lemieux out. Period.
No,
Lemieux is left guard. Lemieux's left guard. I have Feliciano.
I like Shane Lemieux.
Yeah,
I think you guys are right, but I don't think that's the right unit.
I agree.
If you want to put him at center, I'm fine with that.
No, yeah, I know. I agree. Feliciano and Lemieux are the starters, but like Nick Gates is going to say.
Nick Gates is a big question mark, though. I mean, he's on the PUP. He might come back in 4 weeks. If he's ready to give anything, I mean, he's a guy who could slip in there.
Personally, Murph
needs time to develop.
Personally, Murph, I felt like Feliciano was getting a little bit too much hype coming into this deal.
Feliciano.
We don't like Feliciano. Sucks.
He couldn't
touch the field in Buffalo, man. Yeah. Buffalo couldn't wait to get him. The only reason he's here is because Bobby Johnson's here.
Here's my starting left guard. If you want Shane Lemieux to play center, Devery Hamilton.
Like I said, I want him getting all first-team reps all week long this week against
Andrew
the Jets.
Hamilton at left guard, Shane Lemieux at center, Glowinski at right guard, and then Evan Neal at right tackle.
That's a solid offensive line.
I'm surprised by Devery Hamilton. He's played his ass off so far. If he keeps it up, man, and then not only that too, he has the versatility to play inside outside. I'm all for it.
Did he actually play with Danny in college?
I don't know.
I want to say this just because we're on the topic. I think Evan Neal is going to be a good player for us, but I am leery of him a little bit. Alabama, you can go look at the list of them. Alabama tackles, Alabama linemen in general, they are boom or bust in the NFL.
Like Leatherwood?
Yes. I mean, and the reality is they – what they do at Alabama is a lot of wear and tear, a lot of wear and tear. And so – it's the reason why they're always the best collegiate program in the nation, because they're just physical and bigger, stronger. Evan Neal, there is a chance that he could be a bust for us. I'm not saying that now. I'm just saying that I'm optimistic about him, but I won't lie that I am a little nervous about Evan Neal this season. I think he's going to have his issues at running as being a rookie, but I don't think he's a slam dunk like a lot of people think he is.
I'm going to tell you this, looking at the second preseason game, I'm convinced he'll get it figured out by the middle
of the season. I'm positive too. I'm just saying, I think there's going to be some.
His biggest issue from week one to week two was that he was too forward leaning. He was too top heavy. When you look at him play last week, he took a seat.
He was way back,
way more balanced. I like what I saw out of Evan Neal. It's teachable.
I'm positive about him. I'm staying
You're just concerning me because you're also the same person that said Nate Solder to come back player of the year. So I know how much you watch on offensive tackles, Cobb.
No, that's not that you took that the wrong way. But anyway, the reality is he is gonna struggle.
Look at Sewell last year in Detroit. He fucking struggled till week 9.
But my I'm just saying that you can look at Alabama tackles throughout the list of them, and they're boom or bust. I mean, that's just reality.
Well, I get that, and that's fair. If people said the same thing about Jonathan Taylor coming out of Wisconsin, right? Because you had so many people that came through Wisconsin, those 2,000-yard rushers, one of them being a former New York Giant and Ron Dayne. I mean – and look at Jonathan Taylor. So far, he's acclimated really well. He seems to be proving that label.
Probably the best back in the league.
Yeah. So we'll see. I mean, Robinson's still in the league, still playing offensive tackle for the Jaguars, too. Came out of Alabama as well. So who knows? We'll see. But I'm pretty confident in Evan Neal. Murph, to answer your question, Hamilton entered the league in 2021. So I don't know if he was or wasn't a teammate with Daniel Jones. So that would have been 2 years after.
It would have been last year. He's in his second year this year.
So who knows? And what would he have been? A freshman? Sophomore? So anyway, move on to the guards. How many guards do we keep? 5 as well?
I think you have to.
2, 3, 4. Yeah, 5. Yeah, well, so you'll have Glow, you'll have Bread, you'll have Shane, Josh, and then you'll probably have Nick's on Pup, and then whatever you consider Devery Hamilton.
I mean, do you guys?
Brederson makes the team.
Max Garcia or Josh Reavis too.
You don't think Brederson makes the team?
I think he does. I actually think he does.
Well, so yeah, that injury, man.
Murph said Brederson.
Oh, I mean, do y'all even really believe Nick Gase comes back this year at all?
I'm not sure. If he does, I mean, he does. Kudos to him. I mean,
I don't think he does.
The thing that I like about Nick Gase is that he also has that versatility as well. So he can play tackle, he can play guard, he can play center if you need him to. The Giants just cannot stay healthy, man. So I'm okay with adding one more offensive lineman that has the versatility of Nick Gase.
I'm not counting on him. I'm okay with you saying 5 now, but I still, if there is one, I think that's a position that if you had a pickup after cuts, that's one of them.
Yeah. All right. Well, Jameel Douglas has got to go. I think. Can we all agree on
that? That's fair. So then, do you keep Max Garcia as a second center?
Yes.
All right. Yes. So now, who's the fifth guard that you're keeping?
So you got Brad, you got Glow, you got Shane, you got Zudu, and then you got Devery Hamilton.
Hamilton, we kept as a tackle.
He's a tackle. Okay, so.
But, you know, I think that's it.
Chris Owens will.
I think what they're trying to do, though, is maybe just have guys that are flexible doing all, you know, both guard and
tackle. That's why it's kind of hard labeling these guys.
Well, you can't label them. I don't think it's fair to label them guard or tackle because I think they're trying to
make it so they can. Parrot, too.
Yeah. Yeah,
we still got who'll start the league or start the year on the Pup anyway. So you also got Eric Smith. That's another one too. All right, so I'm gonna say 5 guards, regardless who that fifth one might be, and I guess we're going with 2 centers, correct?
Yeah. So I mean, how many offensive linemen do you have?
12.
Okay. I mean, that seems about right, though.
I mean, I think you could probably shave one, go with 11.
Maybe you go in 11, yeah. I mean,
yeah, so Garrett, I mean, if you go with 4 guards. All right, let's keep this as it is for now. Right now we're at 26 players, so we're halfway to 52. So we move on to the defensive side of Bowman.
We're gonna do this.
Which is going to be my favorite unit of the 2 units this year.
All right. Let's start up front then. Let's go with just defensive line. I mean, it depends because we got
let's do by ends and then nose tackle.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, who do you consider an end on this team? Who do you consider a nose tackle? So you got Leonard Williams, Jalen Holmes, Ryder Anderson, Justin Ellis, DJ Davidson, Dexter Lawrence, Nick Williams. David Moe is still on this team?
Yep.
All right. And then here, according to our lads, they just got rushers, which it came on Thibodeau, Jahad Ward, O'Shane Zimenez, but we'll consider them linebackers in this.
So I mean, I think I'm keeping six, seven?
Six up front?
Well, what are we talking here? Because, like,
guys,
Jahad Ward a linebacker or is he a DN?
I named eight guys. Well, Jahad Ward we would consider an outside linebacker in the system. Okay, same with
– I don't. Maybe he's. I don't know if he's making the team.
Who? Ward?
Jahad Ward?
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh no, he brought. We brought him in here. I think he's going to be one of those guys that are, like Jonathan Stewart.
You don't like Smith?
Ellison, dude, he can't get on the field.
Hey, he got hurt, but
he's just got size.
Everybody ever talks about is the athleticism with him, and he just can't get on the
he's
field.
He's got the body.
Blake Martinez was all about Ellerson Smith at the beginning of the game. Right, he said he was the most athletic dude on the roster.
Let me just do this then. Leonard Williams makes the team. Dexter Williams makes the team.
Dexter Lawrence.
Justin Ellis makes the team.
Jelly makes it.
I mean, he makes it just because of Martindale.
Jalen Holmes.
No.
DJ Davidson.
100%.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're up to four. Nick Williams?
It's him or Ryder Anderson for me.
I don't know. I don't think the next three you're about to say. I have
Ryder Anderson over Williams.
No, I would go with Ryder because of the youth and the upside, but that's just me.
I think we're keeping more linebackers and secondary guys.
All right, so I'm going with five up front then.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Now let's move to – whatever you want to call them, outside linebackers. You got Thibodeau, you got Azeez, you got Jahad Ward, Ellison Smith, O'Shane Zimenez, Tolman Fox at this point, I think you got to keep. Quincy Roche.
Why do you have to keep Fox?
I didn't say Fox. I was just naming him.
I thought you said you have to keep Fox.
No.
Oh,
Fox.
Yes.
Why, Tom made Fox. Two plays?
Yeah, is that why?
He's been pretty nice, though. He should make the team. That a lot of people were excited for.
I mean, if you really need special teams, for sure.
Well, I'm taking him over fucking O'Shane. Because I know Zimenez is at a hot camp, and I know, like, you know, everybody's like, well, maybe this is a year, but, like, he makes too many mental mistakes. He had a huge penalty on special teams the other night again. He's got to go. Now, I'm a little disappointed in Roche. I expected to see a little bit more from him this preseason, and I haven't seen it.
I think what's interesting is O'Shane, Roche, and then Cam Brown. All of them question marks.
Cam Brown's making the team because he's a fucking special teams ace.
Yes, so, but that's only
I wanted to leave those two for inside, though.
So, no, I'm sorry. I know I bounced all over the place, but I'm like, to me, as far as these units, I know you're doing the rush angle right now. My bad.
I'm taking Fox over Roche.
Control my show, all right, Keith?
Okay. I'm sorry. I got strong feelings about him.
Now. All right. So Thibodeau and Azeez obviously make the team. So then the question is, how many outside linebackers are you keeping? Four or five? And then who else is that? You got Ellison Smith, Jahad Ward, O'Shane Zimenez, Quincy Roche, and then Tolman Fox.
Five.
Yeah, I think Wink's going to want his pieces.
All right. So
obviously, Smith? Azeez and Kevon, Ward.
Smith?
I'm going to say Quincy and Fox.
I have Smith.
Yeah, I think you got to keep Ellison Smith. He was drafted last year. The guy out of JUCO.
Who's showing more? Quincy, Ellerson, or Fox? I mean, again,
They were talking up Ellerson quite a bit in camp, though.
But he just keeps getting hurt.
Murph, I just feel like I personally feel like there's Ellerson Smith is making this team.
I hope he does, man. I really do.
I think they're gonna, if nothing else, they're gonna they're just going to, they can't get over the fact how athletic and how big he is. I mean, that dude, when he stands up against the other guys, like he's so much bigger than almost every, all the players. What's
he's 6'7", 245.
He's what's a monster. Injury?
What's his injury?
Which it doesn't surprise me. Like a guy that size, it would think it would be easy for them to get hurt.
Well, he is hurt. I'm just trying to figure out what it
That's
is.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I mean, I don't know how, you know, I don't know how good of a career he actually could have.
Yeah, I mean, I think it comes down to a roster bubble being Quincy Rocher Fox.
Well, see, then here's the, you know, the problem too is you got to think about the money aspect to all this. Like, I mean, which one is that? You know, you're gonna. I think if it's close, right, you're gonna keep the person that has the more favorable contract to you.
That would be Fox, most likely.
I mean, you know, it's got to be Fox. Yeah, I mean, if you think that you can do it almost the same with him as you can with Rocher, you know, you're going to go with the guy who's got the cheaper deal.
Yeah, Quincy Roche just hasn't shown that much this training camp or preseason. I agree with you. I think it's probably Fox.
I think he's another guy that came in here and flashed a little bit of something, and everyone's went nuts, and they can't, you know, he hasn't shown anything to the point of where it's like, oh,
I don't think he's a wink guy. I mean,
I think he's a 4-3 DN guy.
I think he's a guy that you
want in your, you know, your NASCAR scheme on the outside with his hand in the dirt. He's just not somebody who's going to stand up. He didn't even look right standing up the other night against Cincy. They had him and Ojulari in there, and I was like, damn, what this could have been, because that's what they were last year. But he just doesn't look like a natural edge rusher in wink scheme.
All right, so we'll go with Fox on that. Now to Cop's favorite. What'd we do? Wait, what'd we keep? 4? 5.
5, yeah. All and right. By the way, Ellerson Smith has a leg injury. Just says leg injury. He's been on the sideline since the 14th, so 10 days.
I don't think they consider it serious, or they would have put him on a pup. So,
yeah, true. We'll see.
All right, we're up to 36 players. Now on to Cop's favorite, the inside linebackers.
The middle unit.
So you got Martinez, Crowder, McFadden, Cam Brown, Carter Coughlin, Austin Ekeliechu.
Well, let me just point out that
obviously Beavers is done.
Beavers getting hurt saves somebody's job.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I'm going to say.
Well, we saw that last week too. Keelan Doss got cut. And then Robert Foster went on the IR and said, hey, you know what, man? We change our man. You're back.
Micah McFadden, I believe, is the guy that is not a household name now, but by the end of the year will be a household name for this team. I think that dude's going to have a big impact for the Giants this year. I really believe that. I'm not saying like necessarily, but he's – you want to talk about special teams, Ace. Like that dude's going to be making plays on special teams. He's 1,000% making this team. I really thought that Carter Coughlin was going to fit Martindale's scheme.
I think he's gone.
But I mean,
he whiffed on the sack the other day.
But that's what I thought he was going to be it. But I have. I mean, it's like he's done nothing.
I don't think the transition's going well for him, man. His head's spinning. He even said it in his interview early on in camp that turning his body around was something huge. That was a huge piece of the transition for him because he was always used to being downhill.
Cam Brown, obviously, just because of special teams purposes.
But special teams hasn't really been good, though.
We keep 4 then, right?
Cam Brown.
Somebody's going to make the – unless you pick somebody up after cuts, but somebody's making this team because Beavers got hurt.
I'm going to say 4 – inside linebackers, because that would mean that Kalicho's gone and then Coughlin's gone, which I think are both possibilities.
But I'm telling you, though, if Blake Martinez goes down, Michael McFadden will not miss a beat. He will not.
I kind of agree. I think it seemed like the same kind of linebacker.
I'm a big Michael McFadden believer.
What? Nebraska? Is that where he came from?
No, Indiana.
Indiana.
I think he led the nation in tackles last year.
Yeah, he reeks Blake Martinez. We said that
dude, I'm telling you.
That's why I liked Beavers a lot, because they complimented each other nicely.
I think McFadden and Beavers was going to be awesome to see together, but obviously that ain't going to happen this year.
All right, move on to the cornerbacks.
How many do you have? How many do you have now?
Right now we got 40.
Okay.
We haven't done 12.
So let's knock out the specialists before you get into the corners.
Yeah, which means you got to have a kicker and a punter.
Yeah, so that's two more. 42.
And a long snapper.
Long snapper.
Yeah,
so that gets you to 43. Snapper. So now you got 9 players, which seems to be enough to have your secondary.
I agree. Kick returner, punt returner, we already accounted for in the other stuff anyway, so. All right, so Adoree Jackson makes the team. Aaron Robinson, although he's looked awful. Darnay Holmes, Darren Evans, Cordell Flott, Rodarius Williams, O.J. Griffin. Who else we have here?
By the way, I want to
– Zion Gilbert and Khalil Dorsey.
I know Aaron Robinson's getting a lot of heat right now, but it's actually not fair what the Giants are asking of him, because he would be – He's a slot guy. He would be much better in the slot.
He was drafted to be a money back. That's what we all had plans for him last year. But I'm
just saying him the play.
I agree. I'm agreeing with you.
Like he's probably give me the slot, please.
They need another outside press corner. They don't have it.
Me personally, I was wanting Sauce Gardner. Obviously, the Jets got him before us because, like, I kind of saw this happening where the Giants, after Bradberry, was like, I mean, you're gonna have a bad number. I don't even think you have a great number one. I don't think Adoree Jackson's a great number one. I think he's a good number two, but I don't think he's a great number one. So with Robertson, it's like he's gonna struggle. There's no question he's gonna struggle.
We're about to find out.
I mean, Holmes, I think Holmes is a good nickel corner.
Yeah, I do. I like Darnay.
And I think Float is like, I think he's going to be eventually there, but it's going to take him some time.
He needs a gym, man.
It's going to take him some time.
I know Murph doesn't like this guy, but the more research I did into it, I think Kevin King is a guy that they should consider to bring in. I know what you're saying, but he's a press corner. And he had really good PFF numbers. I think it was like in the 70s or something. The Giants need a press corner. They need someone to bring someone in off the street. And, you know, that would alleviate. You could move Robinson over into the slot where he should be. I mean, another guy, even though I don't want him back, is Janoris Jenkins. I mean, he's another guy who maybe would fit as a CB2. You know, he's going to have his bad moments, but we need another veteran. I just don't know how they're – they're probably going to wait until after the cuts to figure that out.
Not to mess up your show, Maze, but you told me you were at 43, okay? And I think 5 safeties are going to make this team. Love, McKinney, Belton, although I know he's hurt, Adams, then Corker. So that gets you to 40 – that gets you to 48. And at Robertson, Holmes – and see, I don't know where you go with all this.
So 48, you still need another 5 anyway. So it's 5 corners, 5 safeties.
Yeah.
I mean, can Corker make it?
Well, the thing is that, I mean, I agree with you on the safeties. Love McKinney, Belton, Andrew Adams, and then Corker probably.
Yep.
All right. That means Trenton Thompson, Nate Meadows are gone. So as far as DBs go, it has to be Andrew Jackson, Aaron Robinson, Darnay Holmes, Cordell Flott. And the question is, who is that fifth? You got Darren Evans, Elijah Griffin, or Khalil Dorsey?
It's got to be OJ.
Or Zion.
I think we have OJ Griffin on as my last.
Didn't he play some meaningful snaps for Buffalo too?
No, he was a practice squad guy.
Okay.
Like I hate to say this too. Like I think that you're gonna look after the cuts.
Yeah, for sure.
Probably.
Well, I also kind of thought that they I got the feeling, especially after the first week of practice when Flott was getting some first team reps, I think they thought Flott was going to come along a little bit quicker too.
Yeah.
But
he doesn't have the body.
Well, he was a, I mean, people can get mad as they want, but he was a reach in the draft, in my opinion. They're drafting for need at that spot, but that's a whole other story. But I agree. I mean, the three positions, and I say this on every episode, but the three positions we were worried about, still worried, and I still expect them to play the waiver wire on the O-line, the CB2 position, and the wide receiver position. Maybe. Probably more tight end now, though.
I'm still worried
about wide receiver.
I will say, though, that where I'm a little bit nervous about injuries on the offensive side of the ball, I don't think that the Giants are going to have to worry about – I think there's these guys on the defensive side that have more durability, whereas I don't think we'll have this big injury issue. I know Beavers is hurt, but, like, this big injury issue on our defensive side of the ball. Like, I think this defensive unit, for the most part, will be able to stick together most of the year.
I think – here's my take. I think we really need a CB2. Because I can see it right now. What's going to happen is that every offensive coordinator is going to start picking on whoever is across from Adoree. So, I mean, I don't know what they're going to do between now and that first game on the 11th, but they got to fix that, at least get someone who is average replacement. Because if they don't, they're just going to, like, pick on that guy. You know, I can see it right now, 10 targets a game. And people are going to start complaining because, you know, that's where we're going to get hurt.
And Mage, I know this is your show.
But it is my show.
Listen, I said this draft night, and I'm going to continue to say what you saw the other night with Kayvon is what you see is what you get. That like that wasn't a dirty block.
It was completely unnecessary, man.
It wasn't a dirty block though.
That's fine, but I said something today. Just because it's legal doesn't make it necessary.
Okay, but what I'm telling you is that the expectations for him are way too high. He's going to get hurt. He's going to have a lot of pressure, and I don't know if he's going to meet those expectations. I'm just telling you, like that's like he has to protect himself better in that spot.
Well, this goes back to the beginning of the pod, Cop. I mean, it's the fan base.
Yeah, that was
fan base.
That's my biggest. Let the motherfucker develop. He's 24 years old.
I'm completely with you, Murph. That's my biggest knock on. That's what I'm saying is like you cannot have these crazy expectations. It's like remember when the draft night or like the day after.
Tibbs getting seven sacks this year. Well, I'll be happy if he gets three.
Well, did you hear him? They were like, oh, like. Strahan's going to take him under his wing. Strahan ain't doing shit. Okay. Like, I mean, he's not taking him under his wing. Okay. Stop. Like, he's not the next coming of Lawrence Taylor. He's not going to be Micah Parsons. Okay. He's going to be a good player, and that's not a bad thing. I don't, you know, he's good. He got injured a lot in college. Like, it's just reality. Like, he just did. And so he's going to get hurt in the pro game. That what happened to him the other night, you may say is unnecessary, Mage, but like every team's going to do that to him. They're all going to do it to him. You don't think Aaron Donald doesn't get some dirty shots thrown at him? Mage.
Yes, sir. I'm listening to you.
You don't think Aaron Donald takes bad hits?
Yeah, Aaron Donald does. But the problem is, though, Cop, this is preseason.
Oh, stop.
The point being is, if you're the best dude on the defensive, look, Cop, I'm a Twitter GM. I have the old 22. You want? I like it. I know you're broke. All right, but go back and watch the tape, Cop. He slowed down on the play. He wasn't even pursuing the running back anymore.
Thaddeus
Moore still threw the cup block anyway.
Yes,
Tibbs doesn't hesitate, he never gets hurt.
Remember little old Pizzle here telling you in August, when January comes up, let's just see what the fan base thinks of him. I'm not saying they're going to be shitting on him. I'm just saying it ain't going to be warm and fluffy because they're going to shit on him.
I agree with you. They'll find something wrong.
And I think if he plays all year, I think he'll be a good player. He'll stop the run. You know, I don't know. You know, it's like Murph said, like seven sacks, like shit, man. Like that's crazy. You know, I don't know about that. I think actually, to be honest, guys like Leonard Williams will benefit having him on the field. Leonard is who will pick up. He's the one that's played will go out of the, you know, will go through the roof.
Well, and like, Duari too. I mean, it's a good problem to have.
No, he's a good problem to have. But I'm telling you, I feel like the expectations are way too high. And I mean, you almost could sense like MetLife just from the watching from TV, like that the stadium just sunk when he's on the ground, right? Like, I mean, obviously you don't want him to be hurt, but it was almost like the season's over. And it's like, I think he's a good player, but the expectations are just way too high for him.
Well, that's all personal, and you got to know where your expectations are. I mean, I'm like a pig in shit that we got Neil and Tibbs, but at the same time, it means absolutely nothing to me.
Yeah.
I'm a pig in shit that we got Dabbs and Shane. I wanted them way longer before Joe Judge was even fired, but it means nothing. Nothing.
Look, I want the pass rush to be as good as it was with Strahan and OCU Manure and all them boys. Like, I want it to be. Look, that NASCAR package, and when they were doing even the balling thing, remember they would do the jump shot when they get sacked. Like, that was all fun, man. That was great. I just don't know if the Giants are there yet. Like, I don't know. Like, I think it's gonna take a little more time.
No, man, and like, everybody just thought that because we got a new coach, everything's better. It's like the O-line. Like, we drafted Neil, so everything's better. We got Glow. Everything's fixed. Everything's great. We got a new GM. Everything's fixed. But, like, we get in this situation where it's like, oh, honeymoon, honeymoon, honeymoon. And here we are with 2 weeks left to the regular season, and we got the same problems. We got injuries, and people are like, surprised. Why are we surprised?
I think
Martindale, this team's not good. It's not gonna be good.
I don't know if this team's gonna be good.
I think Martindale is gonna take some heat because I think he's gonna take a lot of chances in games. You know, especially if the offense isn't doing well. You know, you already know that defense has an opinion of our offense. You know they do. I mean, they've been kicking their ass in practice all training camp, and I think some people blow that out of proportion. But I think the defensive unit probably thinks that they're better than the offensive unit. So they're going to probably have to – they're going to feel like they're going to have to win games. And so in doing so, they'll take chances. And that may end up hurting us. But I just think there's a handful of guys that you can tell will take some heat this year from the fan base.
Bro, they start 0-4, they're done with Dable immediately. You know it's coming.
Yeah,
you know it's fucking coming.
I know. Right now,
2-2, they'll be marching across the George Washington Bridge with their pitchforks.
Right now, it's look at them fresh J's he's wearing. You know.
Well, you're right. You're damn right. But if the Giants, if Dable wants to create his own identity here, they won't start slow.
As far as the Giants. You know, I think CGF said, like, as far as them being good, I think that's going to really come down to what is their NFC's competition going to be like. You know, I think if the Giants are somewhere around 500, 8-9, 9-8, I think that's a good year for the Giants. But that doesn't mean that they can't do something. Like 9-8 could make the playoffs. Like it absolutely could. But it really comes down to how talented will the other NFC's teams be, in my opinion.
Low expectations, man.
Where do you put the Giants in the NFC East, Co?
Well, I think the Eagles are the best team. I don't think the Cowboys are as good as – I mean, the Cowboys, they got major receiving issues. I think Zeke's done. I don't think Zeke's the running back that people think he is. I think Parsons will still be good, but I think he's going to be like there's going to be a sophomore slump there. Always is. Other teams are going to know how to defend or play against him a little bit better. So I think the Cowboys will regress. You can't knock what the Eagles have done. Bringing A.J. Brown's a big deal. Jordan Davis is going to be a good player, but it's going to come down to Hurts. They surprised me last year, and I thought they weren't going to be good last year, and they surprised me, and I think they got better. So I think the Eagles are the team to beat. I don't know about the Commanders.
No.
I really don't know what to make of them. Like, it was weird because I don't know if you guys remember, but going into last season, they were getting a lot of, like, the hype, like, oh, this is the team, the NFC.
Up-and-coming team.
Look at this defense. And then all of a sudden Fitzpatrick got hurt, and it all went to shit. And now they obviously felt like they were a quarterback away because they went out and got Wentz. But already out of the gate, Chase Young's out for the first month of the season. So, which, by the way, a lot of Giant fans told me that we need to tank for him.
He turned out to be something else. Yeah, remember that game? Everyone was losing their shit over. Yeah. Oh, my God, we won. We should have won. Now we're stuck with Andrew Thomas. Yeah. And, you know.
Five TDs or six for Danny that day?
The buffet was open.
I really believe, as far as the Giants go, I'm more optimistic than some content creators are. I think the Giants can be sneaky this year. I think they're going to have a great running game. I think the offensive line is going to be good. I think Saquon's going to do well. And if they can run the ball effectively and play good defense, they can win. I know the league is all about passing now, but if they can just play good defense, control the ball, I think they can steal some games, man. I really do believe that.
I think the Giants are going to go 12-5, and they're going to go win the Super Bowl again. It's going to be wide left this time against the Bills.
I mean, that'd be great.
No, but seriously, my take on the Giants is I have no idea what to expect because they have the talent. They have some pieces now on defense. They have a very easy schedule. So I'm sitting here, I'm saying to myself, everyone is like, oh, they're going to be, 8-9 wins. I can see this team win 12 games. I can also see them win 4 games. I don't know what's going to happen. I just want to sit back and enjoy. I've been saying, I don't know how much you've heard me say it, but the first 8 games are going to be the key for this team. If they can somehow get 4-4 or better going into that bye week in the beginning of November, all bets are off because, they have all those divisional games. I mean, if they're in a position, they're going to be in a position for a wild card, and they could even challenge the Eagles for the division, because I do agree with you. I think Dallas is not as good as they've been in the past. I think they lost, who's the right tackle guy that they lost? It went to the bank. Lael Collins. They lost
him. Yeah, Collins. I had a brain fart. Yeah,
I did too. They don't have the amount of weapons. Mark Cooper's gone. Gallup is coming back from an injury. You're asking Zeke Elliott to come in and he's on his downslope. So, everyone's acting like, oh, it's the shoe-in, the Cowboys, the Eagles. I don't know that. And I agree with you on the Commanders. Commanders are also in a shit box. And I think, it's going to be a rough season for them.
I think what the importance of what Mage just did as far as listing out the roster and who we think is going to make the team is, and we talk about the fan base, and I think New Yorkers in general enjoy having household name players on their team, people that they recognize, people they know. And I think the reality is there's a bunch of guys on this that's going to make this Giants roster that have to surprise the fan base. They have to step up and become household names. And if they're able to do that, it's going to give the fan base a little bit more confidence. I think that's what's got the fan base all twisted, because they really don't know half these guys. They're nervous about them, and they're reluctant to say anything positive because of what's happened the last few years. But Dable, Joe Shane, a lot of these guys, they had nothing to do with what's went on the last few years. They have nothing to do with that. So putting pressure on them is ridiculous and silly in itself. But the reality is we're going to need guys like Aaron Robinson, for example. You need to step up. Like, you got to step up. You got to go out there and make plays. We're going to need some of the – doesn't matter where Shane Lemieux, like, whether it's center or guard, like, we need you to step up. Like, we need you to play, dude, and be good, because we need a good offensive line. Because I think all of us seem to agree that if Daniel gets time to throw – I think he's going to succeed, no matter who his receivers are.
He's shown it.
I think he's shown that. So, like, this team desperately needs guys to step up and take leadership. And, you know, all the great Giant teams that we know, they all had leaders. They all had somebody that was leading that team. Who's leading this team?
McKinney.
Who's the leader?
I feel like McKinney is emerging as a leader. I think Jones needs to, in his way, like Eli did, he needs to show, and I think he does. I think in a quiet way, Jones is able to do that. I also think Saquon needs to take a bigger step forward, because it's really up to those guys this year.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm giving Shep the cat patch. If he's back soon, man, I was surprised he wasn't a captain last year, honestly.
I mean, somebody has to – that's another thing on top of just making the team. Like, somebody has to take leadership role of this team and be the voice, yep, like Strahan was, like Lawrence Taylor was, you know, all the – Justin Tuck, right? Antonio Pierce, like all the great Giants that's came through here.
JPP is another one.
Yeah, I mean, you guys were going on Mount Rushmore last week.
Yeah. And you have to tell us what your Mount Rushmore is.
we'll finish up with that.
I don't remember exactly how it was.
From the 2000 Rushmore. Super Bowl on, basically.
Or just basically your time as a Giants fan, your Rushmore.
Man, that's really
like
hard.
We didn't. I didn't say LT because like. I saw LT, but
I'll say. I think that's a very tough question, but I'll say this: I'm not really a jersey guy. I don't buy jerseys. I got no knock on people who do buy jerseys. I just haven't bought a lot of jerseys. I'll tell you, I think I can basically answer this by telling you the jerseys that I have. Jason Sehorn,
yeah.
Eli Manning, Shockey, Tiki Barber. My first Giants jersey was a Rodney Hampton. I got a stray one, stray hand. Actually, here's a random one, Jabril Wilson.
I remember him.
He was a fucking beast, bro.
Yeah, Jabril Wilson. I think that's all the jerseys I had.
Was Jabril on the 07 team?
He was on Super Bowl team. Yes, he was. I was a big fan
because Roll was on the second team.
Yes.
Yeah, Roll was 11.
I actually got a custom jersey, Jabril Wilson, because they weren't selling Jabril Wilson jerseys. So you know how like you could like custom jerseys, like give them a name and number? I actually made one. As far as like just four guys, like I'm old enough to remember LT. Unfortunately, I got the majority of that was late LT. I do remember good LT, but I do remember more the later one. So LT is on there. Man, it's tough, but like I love Strahan, loved Eli, and I am one of the handful of Giant fans that really had a thing for Tiki Barber. And I know that's a tough one. I actually think what he did, I think as much as I loved Eli, I think it was a good thing what Tiki said about Eli.
I think it inspired him. I think it was a good, his ass.
I've never been a problem with someone just outright telling somebody what they thought.
Yeah.
I'd rather Tiki do
unless
it like that.
I know.
Yeah,
I don't think the Giants went on that run. I think that really motivated him.
As much as I loved Strahan winning the Super Bowl, because again, I love the 2000 Giants, I felt bad for Tiki. Because I mean he didn't get to be a part of that team. Obviously, he was gone the year before. So you know, that's like Shockey was another one. Like I loved, but he didn't get to really be, I know he was on the team, but he wasn't a part of that game. Like I love Shockey. I think Jason Sehorn was awesome. I love Jason Sehorn.
He was one of my faves too.
He was one of my easily favorites. If y'all remember the Thunder and Lightning with Ron Dayne and Tiki Barber, I was balls deep in excitement of that.
Wasn't Ward part of that too in 07?
No, that was later. That was like Earth, Wind, and Light. Or I don't know what they were calling it. Like Earth, they were calling it something like Earth, Wind, and Fire, I think.
Yeah.
Like Ward. Who was it? Bradshaw. Was it Jacobs too?
Yeah, it was Jacobs, Ward, and Bradshaw.
Yeah.
Yeah,
man, it's hard for me to have a Mount Rushmore. I just have too many guys that I really like. But, like, you know, when you name off something like Justin Tuck, I'm like, I think OC, I would think you would like OC more than Justin Tuck. You know, like, not to get, not, that's his.
The knock Tuck, but I mean.
Yeah, it's not to knock him. It's just like, I feel like there's players that had bigger impacts for the Giants, you know? I definitely miss us having a great linebacker. You know, like
we haven't had one.
We haven't had one in a really long
time. Antonio
Pierce. We literally haven't had one since Pierce. And was again, he on 2012 team? No, Beeson was the one.
He was 07.
No, but yeah. that's what I'm like. That's another thing about Giants football. When you look at the history of it, when they've won Super Bowls, they've won championships, they've had a stud linebacker, somebody.
And whether it be
Pierce, Beeson, even when the Super Bowl, like that, they lost, they had
Mitchell.
They had Michael Barrow, you know, it's like, or Jesse Armstead too. They had Jesse Armstead out there. Like, he's another one of my favorites. Did you say he was a dick to you, Mage? Who is it that you were saying?
Jesse Armstead wasn't very kind.
I met LT last year for the first time, and I was doing a photo op with him, like a thing, like get a picture with him. Well, anyways. This is the first time I'm meeting LT, and I was with a friend of mine. And because my friend actually made me miss my photo op with LT. So, like, which I was like, fuck, dude. Like, but it's just him and I just, we do stupid shit together. So, anyways, I was like, so I asked LT, I was like, hey, this is the first time I ever talked. I was like, hey, I missed my photo op. Can you do it? Like, can I do it or whatever? He's like, yeah, but like, I gotta go. Like, I gotta leave. Like, he was kind of being like, you know, like he had to go somewhere else. I was like, oh, I'll be real quick, man. Be cool. But anyways, like, so I go to stand with him to take the photo with him. But the guy that's doing the camera work was like being super slow about it. So I'm standing next to LT, who's just still mammoth of a man, like a big dude. And he is scaring the shit out of me. And I'm trying to be my 60-minute man self, Mage. And I'm just thinking, like,
he was at WrestleMania.
He
beat up Bam Bam Bigelow.
I told my buddy, I was like, this dude is like in his 60s now, and I can't imagine what he was like in his prime. Like, just I'm talking about watching him on TV. I'm talking about like physically playing against him, like just a freak of an athlete and freak of a dude. But anyways, I got my picture with him, and although he kind of was like a little bit dickish, like I just expected it. Just expected it, you know, like.
I mean, let's face it. I mean, his history just doesn't exactly scream, you know, humanitarian award. So, but when I did meet him, I was as a kid. So this was in his prime. This was what, the late 80s, early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And he was actually with Downtown Julie Brown, for those folks on MTV that remember or not. But, you know, just a little kid just humbly asking for him to sign a football. Wouldn't do it, nothing. I was like, man, what an asshole.
Well, I'll say this. Like, as a kid, you know, there were other – I had other friends that, you know, Ken Griffey was their dude. Michael Jordan was their dude. All types of players, right? But LT was, like, my guy. Like, that was my dude.
The one thing that I did – because, I mean, I played football, but – and I tried to emulate what LT did. And for anybody else, I mean, look, he's a the greatest linebacker, in my opinion, to ever play. Derek Thomas was really good too, but he wasn't to the level of LT. Watch his tape. Don't idolize the dude. Don't look at anything else. I mean, yeah, that he's done with his life. But if that's a guy that you want to watch film on, watch the tape on LT. But that's about where it stops, though, in terms of idolizing Lawrence Taylor.
Well, I think, like, for me, like, I've always just, you know, any of the players for the Giants, like, I've just always enjoyed what they could do on the field. You know, as far as like what they do off the field, like, I really don't care.
There are some guys that, like I said, that their personality, you know, they understood what it was like. I don't want to say being a New York Giant. They understood what it was like being an NFL player.
Yeah.
And what went along with that. I mean, Michael Strahan, again, one of the most nicest people I have ever met. And he was nice to my mom. He was nice to me. Nice guy. Really nice guy. Seahorn as well. Tynes we had on a live stream. Tynes is another cool dude. Two-time Super Bowl winner. He just gets it. I mean, he's real down to earth too. Like, I respect people more like that because it's like, I've met Carl Banks once, and you know, he came into where I was, and I just said, "Hey, look, man, I'm not going to bother you. I don't want to ask for an autograph. So I just want to shake the hand of a Super Bowl winning champion. That's it." I said, "No problem," and he shook my hand and everything, and like, that's it. Like, I get it. Like, they're people. I've been around enough players. I know a few players just to, you know, to understand. But you know, I can see from their perspective too. But look, I mean, everybody hopes and has hopes and aspirations as a kid to making it to the NBA or to the NFL. Once you get there, don't forget your roots. Don't forget where you came from. Act humbly. That's all. Especially with somebody with a pass as checkered as LT. It's like, this guy's been given more than a second chance.
He's been given 10,000 chances.
So, yeah, he's certainly living on his merit and, you know, his fame from his playing days. That's it. Just, you know, the old saying from Teddy Roosevelt that my father loved, walk quietly, carry a big stick. And that's where we're going to leave it. But, Cop, why don't you tell people, I know your channel is a little small, so why don't you tell people where they can find you and stuff like that?
It's just a little ant in the grass, isn't it? Just kind of going through the yard. Yeah, just Cop Pizzle here on YouTube. You can also catch me on Twitter. I think the best stuff that I do is the post-game videos. I think my post-game videos get a little – because honestly, you know, I make a lot of content, but – I think what makes my post-game videos great is like that is as raw as I can possibly be after a game. And I've often said that I don't know about you guys, but I enjoy being a kid. You know, I hate this adult shit. And so the Giants always make me feel like a kid. Like, it doesn't matter. I can be as old as I can be 60 or 70 one day, and they'll make me feel like I'm a 10-year-old again, just watching them play, whether they're good or bad. And so if you want raw emotion after games, just come check me out. You'll see it. I'll definitely have some good reactions, I'm sure, this year.
I will give you credit. I like the shorts that you've been doing a lot more. Your videos that last 10, 15 minutes, as opposed to the, your live streams, not that your live streams were bad too, but you got some of those shorts too.
I remember
torturing your daughter too, will you?
Do what?
Stop torturing your daughter. Making a
party. Man, that's so much. You know what's funny is, like, I remember YouTube at a time, like, you couldn't even they wouldn't let you upload a video over 10 minutes, like, and that used to be a thing. And so I used to be cautious about that. But no, I love doing videos with my daughter, man. She's so much fun.
And, baby, they don't blow that whistle.
Oh man, I was really reluctant to bring her on. But all the comments that I've ever gotten about her has been so, like, well-received. Like, there's been some decent human beings, like, just that follow my channel that have been very super kind to her. And so it's like, I've never had any – I've probably only had a couple people that's ever said anything bad. But really, for the most part, it's fun to share the channel with her. And so I've got a son, too. He's really hard to tame. So I don't know if I'm ever going to get him on the channel, but like, I know
he's soccer. No way, your offspring hard to tame.
He's super hard to tame. But like, I'm trying to get him in the videos and have some fun with him. But
why don't you just call him Little Pizzle?
Man, he's got a cool name, man. We named him Maverick, and I think that's cool, man.
That's a pretty neat name.
So. His middle name's Eli. Obviously, we all know why. But yeah, I mean, he's got a cool name, so I like to use it. So, but yeah, I'm trying to get him in the videos too, because it's funny, because like, my daughter, she's five, and I became a Giants fan literally when I transitioned from like 5 to 6. So I look at her and I can't even believe that I became a Giants fan at that age. Like, it's hard to understand, but like, we got pictures and stuff like that of myself, you know, and it's just crazy that I I gravitate, or they kind of gravitated towards me and just stuck with me, you know, because when you think when you're young, you're always changing your mind left and right, like all the time. But like for some reason, the Giants just stuck with me. And I've, you know, here I am 30 years later talking to you, Mage.
Which is probably the pinnacle of your career. Yeah, I will probably have to admit that.
I was in a live stream with Tynes, you know, one time too. And like, I guess, you know, that wasn't no big
deal. Wait, that was on my channel, wasn't it?
I was on it with somebody. I remember talking to him and thinking
I believe that was our channel that we did it with DG.
That was one of the cooler nights that I've been on YouTube to talk to him. I was really
cool. And that's what, you know, Tynes is really down to earth, man. He's a really good guy, honestly. So I do feel bad for your daughter, and based on the videos, I just want to say I think she's sick of your shit too. All right.
I mean, so, I think she is. She actually she got to be I guess at her school, because she just started kindergarten, so she's on like her sixth or seventh day of kindergarten. But like today, like she got to be like somehow she got to be like the line leader. So like the teacher picks out like one of the kids in the class, and you get to lead the line because you're good or whatever. And so like I was like, yeah, that's some of them pencil videos coming out, you know, excellence, you know. So it's cool, man. Like she's great.
I do thank you for coming on, despite what people might think. The Pizzle is a friend of the show. We do like him. You guys take him way too seriously. So
absolutely.
Enjoy Pizzle for what he is. He's a real life cartoon character, but good dude though.
Pizzle. It's meant to be fun, man. Like I think people take themselves too serious sometimes. It's just football.
It's true, Pizzle. It's true. I mean, we see it on Twitter all the time. Like I said. Too many Twitter GMs out there.
Absolutely.
Pizzle, thanks for coming on. Appreciate you. You're welcome anytime. That's going to wrap up this episode of the Giants Report. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Peace and love, everyone.